Thank you so much for all the comments coming in so far today. We will try and get through them. A lot of the candidates receiving support. We are debating amongst six candidates contesting the Buncrana electoral area. There are five seats available. In studio we have Fionnán Bradley of Fianna Fáil, Jack Murray of Sinn Féin, Liam Mulligan of Aintu, Kim McMenamin, the Irish People Party stroke independent, Eamon McGee's an independent, Peter McLaughlin, Fine Gael. And I suppose just to wrap up, because I don't want anyone to feel that they didn't get the say on this issue before we talk about many other things, including the very important issue of defective concrete and its impact primarily initially in Inishowen, and then it's sort of spread from there. That's how it feels anyway in terms of awareness. We'll get to that in a moment. But Jack, just in relation to the immigration, a few texts saying that, you know, that you're not really articulating or where you stand on all of this. A lot of your contribution was obviously engaging with Kim. So I just want it to be fair. Yeah. You know, where do you stand? Where does your party stand? What is your position?
As I said, it's caused genuine fear and concern in my local community. And I have nothing but empathy for that. And like, it is an issue in the doors coming up all the time. My party position is very clear that we need a fair, efficient and enforced immigration system. Those people who are fleeing war and need safety should be accommodated. Those people who are trying to exploit our system and are not genuine refugees or asylum seekers should be deported as efficiently and as quickly as possible.
Kim, your view doesn't vary that much from Councillor Murray's.
Well, look, if we're addressing this issue, it's good to address that the people who can't get housing, like the people who are at home right now and, teenagers ready to jump the nest, and now they're in their bedroom, and the only choice they have is stay in the bedroom or emigrate to Australia. Now, that has to be addressed. So there's actually 13,000 people homeless in Ireland, but that figure is, there's actually 250,000 homeless people who can't get a home. So you don't have to be living on the street to be homeless. 250,000 on the street, quarter of a million in houses that can't get on the housing ladder. A rental or anything.
So delivery of housing is important.
So remember, parents, how are parents going to cope with that? You know, like it comes a time when you got to leave your home and you got to try and, you know, raise a family, and they can't do it because they're stuck. They're stuck there because there isn't, the housing crisis is massive. They're stuck there. So our best people are going abroad. They have to go. They have no choice. It's the airport or the bedroom. So for people at home right now, and there's many there, this is impacting you in every locality. It doesn't matter what part of Ireland you're in or what town or village you're in. It's impacting you big time. And then you've lost your family. The family's broken up. And, it is a massive problem that needs to be addressed.
And I mean, Kim, that's a well-articulated argument that I think an awful lot of people, it will resonate with. And I think many people here will agree with you and will hear from them. But you always link that, or it sounds like you do, and you're here to correct me if I'm wrong, to migration. Migration contributes to that, but surely that's sort of generations of poor planning in terms of the providing the right housing for the people you talk of. Because as I say, you know, we know of the grouped accommodation and that accommodation you talk of the 66 males, but, you know, that's not accommodation for all those young people that you reference either. So there is a general housing delivery issue, would you feel?
Well, like, if it's impacting tourism by 50%, people can't get, like, accommodation to come and you know, service it, our tourism industry. I know that's a sideline, but, like, there's no, everything is gone. There is no houses. There is no social housing. There is, like, so how come they can house all these migrants? Like, are you saying all the migrants are warehoused?
No, I'm just putting it to you. I'm
like,
not saying
I don't know the percentages, but I'll look into it, how many actually have got houses from the state. I don't know. I don't know those figures unless anyone else knows. But
it's hard to separate the serviced accommodation from hotels and housing.
But these people are on the housing list now. Yeah. They're waiting to get a house. And will they be housed before the Irish? Like, should the Irish abroad in Australia not be still on the housing list and given the opportunity to come home and get a house?
Eamon McGee, you're also concerned about this issue. I'll come to you in a second. I want to actually go to Liam Mulligan because you specifically referenced specifically referenced immigration as well, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, immigration is a big issue. We're losing we're losing staff out of the hospital on two levels. One, there's not enough people employed so that it becomes a disastrous working conditions for the people in the hospitals. And they get all of these offers from Australia. They can't get accommodation. They have bad working conditions. Someone said something like that the rotation of handling people coming into A&E in Australia is every four patients they move around. Here, it's something like every 100 patients they move around to the next nurse. You know, things like that. And then they can't get accommodation because we haven't been building houses, and we haven't been building houses people afford. And you yourself have had reports in here, not of people being warehoused in big sections like the that place in Buncrana, but people actually, 20 and 30 people being put into a 4 or 5 bedroom house. So that's taking it out of the housing market, and it is an inappropriate. You wouldn't be allowed by the Residential Tenancies Board put that many people into that house or into that type of house. So I'd say there's a lot more issues that we have to get through, but immigration has become a huge extra burden in the whole element of not building our houses right, of the defective blocks, so that in Donegal, and especially in Inishowen, we have absolute ground zero on accommodation and housing and migration and every one of these things coming together. And they go back to not sorting problems, not getting resources in at the right time before we hit the crisis, and then trying to handle crises the same way as we've not handled the normal things before.
So, Peter, I mean, obviously, I'll come to you in a second, Jack. Peter McLaughlin, you could have run for any party. You could have run as an independent. You chose to run for Fine Gael. I mean, we have a scenario that's being outlined here that, we have people leaving the country for better lives and being very valued in Australia, Canada, America, Dubai, etc., and the option to stay here they feel isn't there for them. I mean, did that make you consider whether or not you should run for a party that's been in power for much of the time that sort of, as some would see it, led to the scenario that we're in?
Well, I was really focusing on the Inishowen area when I considered to stand, given my experience. But in relation to the houses...
But many, many people that are looking to vote for you have the children in the bedroom, have the children that have left. They've had those conversations where they say, "Mom, Dad, there's nothing for me here. I'm leaving." So it is a Buncrana issue.
It is a Buncrana issue. And I was speaking to a mother last night, and her son's leaving, and there's very little that can be done about it. The provision of houses is important, but back to what I said, the cost of building houses after COVID, the cost went through the roof, but it doesn't seem to have come back down again. It doesn't seem to have come to a level where people can afford, but still is back to the council.
Well, of course, if you can get €1,400 for renting a house in Donegal, the prices are going to be through the roof.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that's the that's one of the drivers, isn't
that's,
it?
That is one of
it's
the drivers.
It becomes a more valuable asset.
But one of the drivers is the defective blocks issue, because people are looking, they have to move out of the house. That's the driver. The cost of building houses, that's the driver. But as I said about the development of 3,000 houses just across the border, why can't we build? Why can't we afford to build these houses?
Will you tell us?
Well, I don't really understand. That's the cost of building.
Well, we're squabbling with developers to deliver housing that's there. They want a certain price. We won't pay it. They're saying, right, well, we'll invest our money elsewhere.
Then you've the planning issues as well.
Right.
You have to go through the planning issues.
Again, I'll put it to
which
you.
Is an obstacle.
I'll put it to you, Finan. You know, this is happening as some would see it. Not my views, as some would see it, on your party's watch. You know.
Yeah,
you can't be a councillor for observation. People want to see what you'll do to make a difference.
No, absolutely. And I might say that the people who are leaving are people of my generation, the 25 to 30-year-olds and even maybe as young as 20 and whatever. But specifically in relation to housing, this particular campaign and this period of canvassing has shown me something that I'm sure it's shown all the other candidates around the table, and it's the number of vacant homes. Like, we talk about a housing crisis and that we don't have enough homes. I'm not entirely sure that that is completely and totally true.
What if when you say a vacant home, describe it, what are we talking about?
A house that hasn't lived in, say for...
Like it's livable?
Say a person lives in a house and the house behind them or next to them maybe belonged to their parents or to a relative who has now deceased or else moved elsewhere or whatever. So I would like to see more work put into trying to get... a huge number of houses like that brought back into the market. It's even when you go into a housing estate or into a street, and particularly maybe in the town centres, you'll get somebody and they'll say, oh, there's nobody in that house and there's nobody in the house across the way. I canvassed a particular area in Buncrana only yesterday evening, and a quarter of the houses in this street were vacant, but they're all livable. They would all need an amount of work done to them, I'm sure, inside to fix them up and whatever, but they're in livable condition.
Okay, I'll come back to you, Jack. I haven't forgotten that you want to come in. I just want to be fair to everyone. Eamon, just a word on this one.
Personally, for myself, I believe, the best way forward, Evendy House people, we defective homes, our council owns private property, they own property. We could put modular homes on for the families. Use the 15,000 that the families are getting from the enhanced scheme grant now, and put the family on until their house is rebuilt, and keep taking the 15,000 each way through. So this will pay for the modular homes down the line. This is the best way forward for anybody. We all heard the stories about Frank that couldn't get the accommodation. There's going to be many families that's going to be through the same procedure. There is no property out there for rent, and if there are, it's very little. Look, we've got to help these people. I don't believe in an enhanced scheme myself because I'll not be involved in it. But this is what needs to be done for young couples and our young families, to encourage them to stay here. I believe in the same again, that we need to provide modular homes for our families to start having babies. It's very important for our nation. And if we can help them in any way, personally myself, I believe that, we should be giving young families state-funded modular homes for 3 years for free, to allow them to save up for maybe £30,000 for a deposit for a house, or provide social housing for them. I think this is the only way to go forward on this, because there's no other way to go.
Jack, you wanted to come back in there, did you?
Yeah, I was only indicating actually to come on to housing, because it's a huge issue.
So shall we go to defective concrete and feed into it from there? Are you happy enough? Yeah. The situation we are in at the moment, some will tell you that the scheme that's there at the moment, the enhanced scheme in inverted commas, that it is workable, it is working for some people, not for all. It can be adapted to work for the majority of people. That's not necessarily what people contacting this show say, but that's what some say. Your party really effectively has promised a bells and whistles sort of a scheme where everything would be covered, similar to the much smaller scheme as it relates to pyrite down in and around Dublin. But driving through Inishowen, and not just Inishowen, Milford, Carrigart, Downings, these houses are scattered absolutely everywhere. It's horrendous. Do you think your party will deliver on their promises? Because they're grand promises.
Yeah, they are. I believe we're the only party that has both the capability and the willingness to address this problem and to deliver 100% redress. I was at the launch of the People's Document. Piers Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin clearly articulated our point of view, our strategy and how we would do it to a packed room of over 1,000 people. So that would tell you that there's a massive problem, that the scheme isn't as accessible as is being said, that there's such a huge concern. So our commitment is an end-to-end 100% redress scheme. Like the pyrite scheme that was rolled out in North Leinster, we'd reconstitute the Pirate Remediation Board in order to do that. So that's why we are working to get...
When do you think that would be delivered post-election?
Well, as Piers Doherty was asked that question when we were there, and immediately we're ready to go. So when we give a commitment, or when I give a commitment sitting here, I'm just not saying I'll have a word with Mary Lou McDonald or I'll talk to my party at national level. I'm saying that it's been approved at Ardèche. by a motion moved by the Buncrana Sinn Féin Cumann. So you have the support of Mary Lou McDonald, Piers Doherty, who's going to be Minister for Finance, Owen O'Brien, who's going to be Minister for Housing, and through every single councillor and member of our party. It is an absolute 100% commitment, and it's achievable because it's not pie in the sky stuff. This has been rolled through the Department of Finance. We've done the number crunching on what we believe we can commit.
It was claimed yesterday that this wasn't in Sinn Féin's manifesto, the last election manifesto. I mean, if the party was so serious about it, should it not have been part of that manifesto?
Sinn Féin is absolutely crystal clear on this. There's no ambiguity on this. This is one, and I have to say, Sinn Féin is the only show in town when it comes to this issue.
Well,
we will bring a change of government. We want to lead the next government, and we'll have members of government living in our communities who are affected by this, whose relatives are affected.
There would be
by
no
this.
Upward cap. So if someone had a €1 million property.
We've said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring everyone in. I'm just going to hop back to Eamon, if that's okay, because Eamon, you're going down a different route, okay? You're going down the 16 families seeking a judicial review.
Yes.
So does that mean that you are waiting to see what Sinn Féin might do, and this is another iron in the fire, or do you have no confidence that they might deliver?
Sinn Féin could have done something. Look, Peter Stordy, Pádraig McLachlan could have took a judicial review. Fellow homeowners of Donegal, but they choose not to. Look, bottom line, the homeowners have been deceived with everybody. The only way forward for us, really, is to take a judicial review and through the courts. There's a good chance we could lose this, but at least then that we will have a direction to go into the European courts. The European law is more superior than Irish law. The products, the concrete that we were sold, are not fit under European standards. This is the only way that we will get compensation. And no matter what anybody tells you, if people were genuine, going to help the people, you know, we all know it's not Mica. So come on.
I think people use the word Mica just because it's a catch-all. I think
it's
everyone
reactive,
knows it's
reactive iron sulfur tunnels.
But RTE or other stations will use Mica, and the way I look at it is
deceived,
at least they're talking about it.
The desktop study.
Okay, but do you understand why people use the language? Do you understand why, like, it's people call a vacuum cleaner a Hoover? Yeah, that's the way I'd see the word Mica being used.
At the end of the day, no person should be buying a house a second time. And the people that I've met, you know, when I'm canvassing, they don't have the money even under the enhanced scheme. Okay. We have to give these people an opportunity.
Okay.
And that's what we're bringing forward. We've got our own homes to rebuild. This is, and people say this is the only show in town. The only show in town is the 16 homeowners. It's going to take this right through to the European courts, and this is the only place that we're going to get justice for the people.
Yeah, I think a lot of homeowners would say whatever works, you know, we'll go with
all,
it.
Kim, all the homeowners want is their homes rebuilt.
Exactly. Kim McMenamin, what is your stance? Are you for 100% redress?
Can I just finish a point that he made earlier? He mentioned rape and crime, and you said you can't say that.
He says there was a 1,000% increase.
I was on the figure. Yeah,
1,000% increase.
Just on that, like, Ireland does not racially profile the criminals. They don't.
Spain does. Of course, that's why...
Norway does.
It was just a claim of 1,000% increase.
Yeah, but it's very hard to get statistics on
crime. Exactly.
And what is a statistic of crimes among immigrants who come into this country?
Yeah.
So we can't... Because there's this woke agenda where you cannot racially profile... you know, anyone. And they should be racially profiling them so we can actually see who's doing what and is...
Well, I can forward on a document to you where it is for the last 4 years. It's a list of convictions for rape and murder. Mm-hmm. And you can see, I mean, it's not fine and maybe it's even a little bit racist, but you can see very clearly from the names and get some sort and their address and get some sort of an indication as where they're from. But I take your point, and I don't disagree with you, right? But it was just in relation to saying rapes have increased 1,000. We don't have that statistic, regardless of who's responsible for them.
On one point that Finian made there was about the hospital workers and that there's a lot of foreign workers there, and they're probably vetted and all that there or whatever. We don't know.
Again, well, they have to be to work with patients.
So
same as the guards.
Why do we need this massive amount of foreign workers? Why? Because our own people, our own workers, have been pushed out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we've now got to use the foreign worker, not because we need or we've this lack of workers. It's because or young people are being pushed out because of housing.
But just in relation
to that,
so
the housing affects a hospital.
Yeah, but just in relation to that, so that you know the hundreds of thousands that of Irish that are working in America, Australia, and Dubai. Do you believe they're displacing local workers as well?
That's a good question.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
That's a good question. No, I think those other countries are really needing employment. Where we have our employment rates aren't really like we don't have massive. We don't have any manufacturing base. We have farming and fishing, and that's been destroyed by the EU. So we don't have that base. So
yeah, Finan wants to come back in. Yeah,
we have full employment. You see, I love talking about the facts. We have full employment, and I, in the course of a canvassing conversation a number of weeks ago, was talking to a person who owns a business in the hospital. Hospitality sector, and they said they had advertised 5 jobs on 3 occasions. I think possibly through
yourself, Craig, interesting to see what the wage was,
and on the in the local media and the local newspapers and that, and they didn't get one single application for any one of the five jobs.
Why?
No, but the
why? Because our people are being pushed out because they can't get a house.
No,
tell me why then.
I don't accept that, Greg, at all.
No, you tell,
Kim.
You tell me then why.
But to go back to the point about crime and talking about rapes and murders and whatever, that was the point I was making originally, Greg, about the discourse and the discussion around this issue of immigration. It has become very, very heated and very toxic, and I really don't see who that serves.
Angada Síochána, would say, now, you see, you can dispute what Angada Síochána say, right? But as I say, I'll just try and base it on facts, and then we can say, well, I wouldn't believe that or whatever. But Angada Síochána say that there is no statistical increase in crime beyond
they don't racially profile criminal activity. They don't. And that's why there's no stats. Let me finish mine first. There's no stats.
Finan,
If I just might finish my point. Like, at the end of the day, the immigrants that we talk about, I think it's very, very easy to dehumanise these people. These are actual human beings. Now, I don't know what any of them have come through, but I do know that they're here in our country now. Mm-hmm. They may have a contribution to make. They may not.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's very important, by the way.
I might just say, in the course of my professional life, I'm a teacher by trade, I can say that I have actually encountered a number in the recent past of these immigrants, children of them. And I can honestly say that they're no different to any Irish child, to any white child. They're as polite. No, but that's the point.
Of course they're not.
But Greg, you listen to discourse then from some commentators and from some candidates, and all you hear about is crime and rape and murder, and it paints a picture that they are very different.
Yeah.
And
the problem is who's countering that? You know, where is that information coming from the state? Where is that? You know, it is.
There's no stats.
And I mean,
there's no,
like, I accept, Greg, that there is fear in our community at the minute. I talked to a woman only last night who said that she hasn't visited Swan Park since it reopened out of fear. You know, and
Jack Murray, you're nodding your head.
That's insanity.
That's no way for people to live their lives.
No, and some of that fear, sorry, Jack, I might say, is unfounded. Some of it is unfounded and it's stoked by tension. Okay. And I think the discourse and the debate has to become more humanised and more polite again.
I think it is only now, not on our programme, because we've discussed this right from the get-go, that actually maybe those people that are afraid have a voice, because before, if they spoke, they were described as far right or racist. And as I say, we never entertained that on the 9 till noon show. But
that's my question.
Well, they weren't able to speak out. Now, gentlemen,
just one thing. I agree totally what he said. Yes, these are beautiful people and they're welcome. But the government has gone rogue on immigration. That is where the blame firmly lies, with the government and the policy. McEntee was supposed to deport 1,000 people in a 2-year period, and she didn't.
Less than 10.
The failure is with government,
less than 10.
Not with people.
We were relying on people to voluntarily leave, and of course they didn't. I want everyone to feel they're getting a say here, by the way. I know some people are more inclined to jump in than not. I'm one of those. But I certainly want you, Peter, you, Eamon, and you, Liam, to feel that you're so pleased. I don't want anyone leaving here feeling they didn't get a say. So come on, Eamon, talk to me.
I just don't have the figures. I know nothing about it. Your government, Fianna Fáil or whatever, what is the percentage of people coming into the HSE as doctors and nurses coming through agencies?
I have no idea. I don't have the figures to have.
Does these people come in and get 1.5 times more than our local people?
again, I don't know.
There are actually figures on that. We can possibly dig them out in terms of the financial spend on agency staff. The same could be said of to
and
the money
there,
we spend
does
on taxis.
Does the reference be checked?
How do
the
you mean?
Qualifications, records be checked. No, the qualifications.
There has been one quite high profile case where arguably they weren't right. Okay.
One recently.
Just in canvassing, you know, around the Wakana area, I've been canvassing, and I find the people are, well, they're receptive to the some of the immigrants coming in. It's the concern that they feel that they're not getting, that we are getting more than the rest. Wakana or Donegal, 51% of the tourism beds are taken up by refugees, and 16%, I think, is in Kildare. So there's no, it seems, throw them up to Donegal. It's that back to Donegal. If it's no good, they'll give it to us. If it's anything any good, they won't give it to us.
But I mean, like, Kim, and you know, we heard from Jack Murray, he might not necessarily like the way Kim does his business, but at the end of the day, you have your Kim McMinimums out there that are saying, you know, I was saying this a year ago, 18 months ago, and everyone said I was a racist. Now everyone's saying the same thing. I mean, was there not opportunity, as this was unfolding, for us to put in place a policy to ensure it didn't happen as is?
Yeah, the parties are jumping on the bandwagon now because they see votes and they're U-turning and flip-flopping on immigration. And they're making it look like Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil are a uni party. Now, you can judge a government by a strong government, but you can also judge a government if there's a weak opposition. If there's a weak opposition, then the weak opposition, who didn't oppose anything in government, agreed with everything on migration, want to get into power like Sinn Féin. How are they going to stand up and look the people in the eye, look their children in the eye and say, we did something to protect yous? You didn't even do it at local level. How are you going to do it at national level?
I'm going to bring Liam in, but respond to that, Jack. It's a direct...
Look. See this week, like, there's no opposition. If you listen to Highland Radio on a weekly basis, you will hear Sinn Féin member after Sinn Féin member questioning and opposing government policy on a regular basis.
Now you're
Kim,
doing it.
Kim, calm yourself. But I have to say, a lot of this information that Kim bases his soundbites on are from social media. They're from Twitter.
The internet.
And I'll finish this point. Right. And to put it in context, and I can't believe what I'm about to say in an election debate. On the 9th and 12th of July last year, on social media, Kim posted videos arguing that the Earth is flat. Now, this is the level of research.
Untrue.
If anybody wants to listen on the radio,
go
now,
back and look.
Search his page. The 9th and 12th of July last year, videos arguing strongly that the Earth is flat.
Right.
Untrue. I asked the question. Now you're trying
really
to divert from
people,
your lack of standing up for people on the ground.
But I don't. I really don't think. I think. I really Jack's don't think we can get into the flat Earth.
Flat Earth, Jack. You're for real.
Just one quick question, Kim.
It was a question. On a post, it was
Kim,
not a post
about Kim, flat Earth. Kim, I, this is nothing to do with this. I'm just bloody curious. Yeah. Do you rule out a flat Earth?
Hold on.
No,
I want to finish this point.
Briefly, okay.
I want to finish this
point. Come here, we'll come back to that. Come here, I want to bring, we'll come back to you. But you're going to answer that question.
Yeah.
You can answer that question before we finish.
Well, I asked the question, the scientists who are saying, you know, is the Earth flat? Do they have a good point? That was a question.
Right, okay.
But there as a general debate,
okay.
I was not
right, okay.
promoting.
No, I have to.
Jack has to stoop so low. Jack Murray,
Liam's been very patient.
I have to break in to some extent. We have to move on from migration to an extent, but as I say, IPASS has been very, how would you say, uncaring and just hoovering up accommodation.
Correct.
And it doesn't care what happens to the tourist industry, to the housing lists, to the students. And that was even before the Ukrainian thing happened, and it just got so much worse after the war started. Sinn Féin has been for open borders in the past. Since the March referendums, it's changed its position. Since the March referendums, it's changed position on the March referendums. These are facts, you know. These are facts.
Our 2020 manifesto stated categorically.
Turncoats.
Well, your people, your spokesman spoke for open borders in
our
meantime.
Our manifesto, to be
contested. I think there was a quote from Mary Lou McDonald that was widely misquoted in relation to that, if the truth be told.
Sinn Féin is very easy to misquote because of the way they
phrase things, so they're very easy to misquote. You're very easy.
It's black and white who let the people down, that's for sure. We all know who they are, and they're at this table.
The biggest other issue,
the biggest issue contributing at the moment, and we have to give it some time, is defective blocks.
Yes, and I'll tell you what we'll do, and I hope you all recognise that's precisely what I wanted to come back and talk about, but it went down a different route. But I'll come back and start with you, and we'll work around the table on defective concrete. But I do have to take a break, and we'll dedicate, I would say, the majority of the end of the show on this. As I say, I tried to go down that route. It ended up back on the migration issue, and I don't want to be accused either of... not giving people an opportunity to have their say. Okay, we were just having a very interesting conversation there off air as to you know, the remainder of the show. This show has flown in, and some great contributions from everyone, and in fair play, for the most part, respectful, robust, which is good. But, I mean, obviously, and it was pointed out as well, this is a local election, and, you know, there's bread and butter stuff out there as well. And I got pulled up by Fionnán Bradley, so might as well start with him. You know, like, What do you see as also outside of the big ones as the bread and butter issues for Buncrana?
Well, Peter alluded to one of them in his opening remarks about the leisure centre. I mean, it really is absolutely criminal that the second biggest town in County Donegal is without a leisure centre. It's just unacceptable, and really it is farcical. And I know that there might be movement now, but it's too little movement at too slow a pace.
Is that not now being coupled with the shorefront plan? I'll let you in a sec, Jack. Yeah.
Apparently it is going to be, but I mean, back 17 or 18 years ago, there was 3.8 million in funding got at that time from the swimming pool fund to refurbish the leisure centre that's there now, and that money has never been drawn down or never been spent, you know. But the point is, it's not a refurbishment job now, it's a full demolition and rebuild.
That's, and the longer it takes, the more expensive,
of course,
it becomes.
Yeah, and the more Buncrana and any shown school children don't learn to swim. And I mentioned already, I'm a teacher. Part of my work is teaching children with special educational needs and additional needs. And most of the time, we have to take those students into Derry now. And quite often, you're away nearly a full day, and it's tiring for them and tiring for the staff that are going with them, and the good has gone out of it. But if we had that facility there right on our doorstep, we could have those students down, you know, maybe once a week, and it would be such a benefit to them, and indeed to every child who should be able to learn to swim in a seaside town like Buncrana. It's a life-saving skill.
Yeah,
you
Liam
know.
Mulligan, you wanted to come in there?
Funnily enough, I'm speaking as an engineer. The root cause, we like go for root cause analysis, and the root cause of why you don't have a pool is the same root cause as why we have the defective concrete problem. It's that keeping it going, maintaining it, is not politically interesting. Keeping enough people to process immigrants, keeping enough people to supervise the production of aggregate, that they're producing it correctly, maintaining a thing. With the demolition and rebuild of the pool, you will now get a half a dozen political announcements by ministers or TDs or councillors. Whereas if you had kept the pool going, if the money had been made available to keep the pool going, there would have been no political announcements. No one thanks you for a clean floor or a clean bathroom. You only get the thank you when a new bathroom is built. And this is the core political philosophies of the large parties, that they want to be able to cut ribbons rather than actually keep the place working.
Is that not a big reach to say that you allow something to fall into disrepair and out to use and leave it sitting idle for ages, even though it's one of the biggest things in Buncrana that people want, so that down the line you can rebuild it and cut a ribbon? That's
no, but it's the psychological approach. Yeah. It's the psychological approach to maintenance. This is a well-known psychological issue.
Is this why we don't have public toilets?
Part of the reason
Jack hasn't had a word on this
think,
one. Yeah.
I think that's a bit misguided. It's probably just a bit of disrespect to the committee.
What is?
To say that it was intentionally left idle. Well, I finished the point. So, look, I can hand on heart say that I think nobody has worked harder on this leisure centre than I have. The reason that it's now coupled as part of the Rural Regeneration Development Fund initiative is a motion I moved and an argument that I put forward that will be included on it. So there's going to be €10 million included in that application as part of the wider shorefront development. I'm delighted now that just as I arrived here today, I got a text from one of the council engineers saying it's also in advance of that going to be submitted as part of an application to as a strategic sports capital infrastructure for large projects. That closing date is in July, so that's within a matter
of
months.
But how does this deliver it, Jack? I mean, it sounds like a different ways about talking about the same problem, and those listening, really, yeah, what they want to know is, well, when can I...
When can my kid go swimming? 100%. And look, I want my daughter to go swimming.
So when will that be, do you think?
Well, as we stand, and we've actually a lot of progress now in the last year. The leisure centre is completely designed. The architects have signed off on that. It's gone into detailed design, and that's the likes of the specifications of the flume and the likes of the heating system and all. So that's all being teased out. So we are very advanced. Planning permission has been approved by Donegal County Council. So we have the project there ready to go. It's basically getting a checkbook.
Right, Fionnuala, I'm going to bring you back in, but first, Peter, did you want to come in on that?
That's
Peter McLaughlin, by the way, sorry.
Right, that the work that the committee had done in relation to the pool, it was one of pools don't make money, but the Buncanna pool was one of the most well run, most cost effective in relation to who was working for the pool, whatever. That funding was there. I had worked with several ministers in order, and no pun intended, but Michael Ring was the last minister, and he ring fenced £2 million that was to be drawn down. It wasn't drawn down. I don't know why.
Well, the council has ring fenced money for this project in the past, in multiple budgets, but it still hasn't delivered the project.
Yes, well, I'm just talking about people. There's multiple people have been working on this pool for Buncanna.
Like I said, there's those two funds that are going to apply for. The one at the end of July and there's one at the end of October. The pool is now shovel ready. Once the money's released, it's diggers on the ground.
Finan, wanted to come back in?
Yeah, no, just on
the
point.
Then I'll bring Kim, and if anyone wants a word on it as well.
On the point that Liam had made, you know, about the pool kind of been run into the ground, and I don't really accept that, because if you look at Finn Valley and if you look at the Aura Leisure Centre, the difference is that they're both state-owned. Ran and maintained by the council, whereas the leisure centre in Buncanna wasn't.
That's what you call plausible deniability.
If I could finish my point, yeah. The pool in Buncanna was owned by a co-op and ran by a private committee, so it was entirely different and entirely more difficult for the Buncanna Leisure Centre to keep going. But when the new pool is built and established, it will be council owned and maintained, and it will be ran differently.
Kim McManaman, do you want a word on this?
Yeah, I think at a national level, leisure centres and pools should always have been subsidised by government, the same as in Northern Ireland. I think that, and it shouldn't be a matter for the Donegal County Councils to try and figure it out and beg for money off Europe and beg for money off the government. It should be a matter of fact thing for children, you know, somewhere where they can meet, a drop-in centre, leisure centre, all the facilities should be there. They can print money, the EU can print money for anything Ireland wants. They just demand the money. And then that's stealing out of your back pocket. It's called inflation. I ask people, well, what do you think is the biggest deficit in your money, in your pay packet? And they say taxation. I says, what about inflation? Because if you go into Aldi or Lidl now to buy something that you bought 6 months ago for 100 quid, say groceries, it's going to be 140, 150 right now. So inflation is stealing the working man's pay packet. It's the highest form of theft that you could ever think of.
Inflation gouging too was and
it's unreal.
It is a shocker, because people have to live with that.
Yeah. But they can't print money when you need it.
People might not be so upset about paying the likes of a local property tax if this is the type of stuff it was going towards. Everyone keeps talking about Derry. You pay your rates, you get your services. Eamon, would that be something that you'd be in favour of? I mean, if we are paying a local property tax, surely the logical thing would be for it to be not used to match fund tourism products, but actually deliver services for the people.
What's very important for us is people's mental health. Anything to do with sports clubs, swimming pools, it has to be encouraged. I would also, we have to look at all the sports clubs that are playing rich gems. Look, everything's gone up so high. No, I personally believe like places like small gyms where people are getting out and, people suffering their mental health, these people should be given free rates, full stop. And it's crucifying, even the small businesses everywhere. No, we have to help them. It's keeping jobs in our community. It's keeping people, from sitting in their houses. It's very important. This is one of the main things that, as a nation, our children need to get out of houses. They need the sports clubs there, whether it's a swimming pool or a football club or a gym or whatever. And I would encourage, look, I'm all supportive. you know, I don't mind paying a couple of pound extra tax.
Listen, these all these issues. Okay, we're in a debate here. We're in an election cycle. Everyone's looking for votes, and obviously, you know, the people are going to sort of try and one up man and what have you. But I mean, do you think you all could work together as elected representatives for the benefit of Buncrana? I mean, Kim, do you think you could get on with these guys and actually deliver on the bread and butter issues if elected?
Absolutely, I feel I could, and I have a strong will in the community. Like, I've had to be a county councillor on the ground, I've had to be an organiser, and I've had to be a guardian of the community. I've had to be these things, and I shouldn't have to do that. Listen, I am doing it for my grandchildren and my children and everybody else's children in the community. So I've stood up on the ground and I know what I can do, and I know I can work with people, and of course we can all work together.
100%. What about you, Fionn?
Oh, Greg, absolutely. Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. I mean, I listed at the start the number of committees and organisations that I'm involved in, so I'm well used to working with people and in my day-to-day life in school, and anybody that knows me would know I would run 1,000 miles away from confrontation, believe it or believe it not. So if I am elected, I definitely will, not even I want, I will work with the other Inis Own councillors to deliver 100% redress for homeowners, to deliver our leisure centre, to deliver respite services for children with special educational needs and additional needs, and all those very important local issues that the councillors might actually have a say over or be able to affect change on.
Jack, do you think the sitting council and the way the council does its work does enough to represent the people? There are some that say, you know, there's been a lacking in terms of defective concrete, that maybe the council hasn't been to the forefront in fighting the issues as it relates to hospital services, CDNT services. You know, a lot of that is organised by regular folk, played out on the media. Thankfully, then it's picked up and we get something done. But does the council not have a role in being more representative of the people on these issues and using the time to sort of say, right, you know what, guys, you voted for us. We've got your back here. We've got the Donegal jersey on. Sometimes that feels very absent. I'm not going to lie.
I don't disagree with that. If you talk about the council as a body, I don't think it has done enough for people. I don't think it has represented enough people. I can stand over my own record. And I think of the 13 years that I've been a councillor, I have worked very hard. You talk about defective blocks. The year I was mayor was the only time that there was a series of standalone meetings facilitated to discuss that issue. Emma was talking about the like IS465. As mayor, I met with the Department of Housing along with Deputy Mayor Martin McDermott, and I argued very strongly that it's not mica, that it's pyrotite and it's all deleterious materials. So I've taken that fight, and the council of course could always do better, but I'll stand on my own track record, and I think that I've put those issues to the fore.
Would you like to do things differently in the council if elected, Liam? Or are you just going to walk in, become another one of those 37, 38, and it's just the same stuff? I'm not saying this, by the way, not being critical of the council, okay? I'm just sort of saying, you know, what are people bringing that might be something a little bit different, if anything?
There has to be a view of the council as the start, the bottom-up element of democracy, you know, of representing. And yes, we have to cooperate with each other for Donegal. You know, why didn't we automatically get at least a good a deal as the pyrites in Dublin to begin with? So we need a zero cost to victims approach on the thing. And we have a position where people who bought a house in an estate off the plans, they just sent in a surveyor, the bank sent in and bought the house, and now they have to project manage demolition, planning permission, construction, stage payments. This is impossible. We need actually a task force, and we need the council to push for a task force to actually help people sort out their problems
and with, of course,
the defective houses. And the council has to come together to do this for Donegal, for transport and for all the other things.
But Eamon McGee, listeners might say, look, if the council can't get its house in order to look after people living in their own stock that's affected by defective concrete, what hope for the rest?
That's 100%. Look, listen, we've been left behind. Like, you know, you have to look at Dublin. They got 100%, full stop. People are Donegal at the bottom. You know, they're left behind in everything. They destroyed our railways years ago, but now we've got the, you know, higher taxes because of climate change and CO2s and all that. You know, there's a load of things that we've been left behind. What can we really do about it? You know, can our TDs do anything, you know, better for our communities? I do believe they can. You know, for one of the most, you know, they could have took out a judicial review on behalf of the the effect of black homeowners. These people have, some of these TDs have taken ones out before. You know, if they're really been honest with the people, they could have done it and they could have saved us, you know, from going to the courts. It's costing us our own personal money. You know, where will it, you know, this is the only way really, you know, that we're really going to get anywhere forward.
Right.
We don't want to do this.
I get you.
You know, we would wish our TDs could do this on our behalf. But look, we have no money. This is the best opportunity we're going to get. And this is the only way, you know, we have a good chance of getting compensation.
All right, Peter McLaughlin, Fine Gael.
Well, I think we are entitled the same as what happened around Dublin. And you can't make chalk out of one and cheese out of the other. We should be getting the same deal. That's how I feel. We should be getting the same deal. Shouldn't be treated like second-class citizens. And I think from a council point of view and what control we have or what control councillors would have, I think there should be a streamlining of the procedure. And instead of having this, you're going to get on the scheme, instead of this two hands up, just putting obstacles in front of you, they should be putting an arm around you and saying, right, here we are. Have a meeting, have the planners in place, have the appropriate people in place that you're making an application, they take you in, process your application and remove the obstacles that they're putting in your place.
Okay.
So the streamlines it for everyone. The mental anguish that this is causing the people is unbelievable. 50% of the the patients reporting for mental, looking for about mental care are related to the mica issue.
Yeah, it's horrendous. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We're all happy enough, are we?
Yep, thank you.
Good stuff. I'm waiting patiently to get it on the record. Listen, it's been really interesting. It's been robust, and I think for the most part, it's been fair. Peter, sorry?
Can I just say, my godfather and my uncle is in hospital today, and I'm just Peter McLaughlin, namesake. I just wish him a speedy recovery.
Very good, and thanks for coming up nonetheless. We do appreciate that. Really enjoyed it. Finan Bradley, thank you very much for calling up to us. Fianna Fáil, Jack Murray, Sinn Féin, Liam Mulligan of AIM2, Kim McMenamin, Independent / Irish People's Party, Eamon McGee's an independent, focused on 100% redress through the channels he's taking, and also Peter McLaughlin. Thank you all, and the best of luck. I think it's fantastic to put yourself in front of the people, and there's so few that would detract from it that wouldn't actually do it themselves. So I'm full of admiration for you all, and hopefully lots and lots of people come out and we get a council that's representative of the people's views and not just online views and what have you. All right, thank you very much indeed. All right, our Buncrana debate, the first of two. We are going to take a break. We're heading towards news, and then you can switch online where we will be hosting our second EU debate. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up, as I say, after the news at 12.